So last week, Dirk talked about the birth of Jesus. And for some of us, it shook us up a bit, and Christmas will never be the same. But that's okay, because we know that Jesus grew up and became a man. And he starts his ministry out, and God takes him into the desert. And the way the scripture starts out, I'm sorry, that was not the first one. We start out with baptism, okay? Jesus is baptized. And he's baptized by John the Baptist. And in Matthew 3, we hear how he's baptized by John the Baptist. And at that time, the Holy Spirit fills him. And we hear God's voice as the Spirit comes down like a dove and descends upon Jesus. So for those of us who remember our fathers, who have fathers right now, we are so blessed because our fathers can encourage us and endorse us. So here's Jesus beginning out his ministry. And what does he have? He has the voice of God, his Father, coming down and blessing him. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. So that begins Jesus' ministry. Then, led by the Spirit, he goes out into the desert. Is he alone? No, he's not. He's filled with the Spirit that has been given to him. And he goes out into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasts for that time. And then the Holy Spirit, still being with him, is comforting him. He's hungry, right? Haven't eaten for 40 days. I have a hard time going sometimes for 4 hours without feeling hungry. But here's Jesus. He's gone 40 days without food. And who shows up? The devil. And he says to him, you know, there's stones here. You could just command those stones to become bread. And then you could eat and be filled. And Jesus uses the word of God. And he says back to him, no, man does not live by bread alone. So you're not going to tempt me with that. Go away, devil. So the devil tries another tactic. And he says to him, it is written, and I will give all authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. So I'm going to give you all this authority. But you have to bow down and worship me, he says. And Jesus replies back, using the word of God, saying, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil leads him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. So the devil tries 3 times to tempt him, and eventually he just leaves. But do you notice what the devil did that 3rd time? He had listened. Devil's pretty smart. He's very cunning. And he had listened to Jesus. Jesus kept coming back to the devil's questions, etc., with the word of God. So he says, okay, I'm going to use the word of God. It says he will command his angels concerning you. So he's using the word of God. Very powerful. But Jesus had more word from God to rebut what he had said to him. Then we read on, continuing in Luke, that he goes to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the countryside. And if you recall, he goes into the temple and he unrolls a scroll and he starts reading, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolls up the scroll and he sits down. And they're all listening and waiting for him to hear what he's going to say. And I don't think they expected this. He says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Whoa. He's in front of the scribes and the Pharisees and all the other people. And they can't believe, is this Joseph's son? Who is he that he's saying this to us? What do you mean this has been fulfilled in our hearing? You mean you? I don't think so. You see, Jesus is rejected at home, okay? But he's still filled with the power of the Spirit. So now I want to read to you, continuing on in the story. He went down to Capernaum, a village in Galilee. He was teaching the people on the Sabbath. They were surprised and impressed. His teaching was so forthright, so confident, so authoritative, not the quibbling and quoting they were used to. In the meeting place that day, there was a man demonically disturbed. He screamed, "Oh, what business do you have here with us, Jesus, Nazarene? I know what you're up to. You're the Holy One of God, and you've come to destroy us." But Jesus shut him up. "Quiet. Get out of him." The demonic spirit threw the man down in front of them all and left. The demon did not hurt him. Well, that set everyone back on their heels, whispering and wondering, "What's going on here? Someone whose words make things happen? Someone who orders demonic spirits to get out and they go?" Jesus was the talk of the town. He left the meeting place and went to Simon's house. Simon's mother-in-law was running a high fever, and they asked him to do something for her. He stood over her, told the fever to leave, and it left. Before they knew it, she was up getting dinner for them. Just like a woman, huh? When the sun went down, everyone who had anyone sick with some ailment or other brought them to him. One by one, he placed his hands on them and healed them. Demons left in droves, screaming, "Son of God, you're the Son of God!" But he shut them up, refusing to let them speak because they knew too much, knew him to be the Messiah. He left the next day for open country, but the crowds went looking, and when they found him, clung to him so he couldn't go on. He told them, "Don't you realize that there are yet other villages where I have to tell the messages of God's kingdom? That this is the work God sent me to do." Meanwhile, he continued preaching in the meeting places of Galilee. So there's a couple of things that we notice here. Jesus has power and authority. And Jesus' power and authority are exhibited first in his teachings. And he astounds the people. When he sits down reading from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," and all the other teachings that we read in the New Testament, he speaks with authority. He doesn't waffle. He doesn't sit back and say, "Well, I think God said this. I think maybe he knows that. I don't know. No, he knew the Old Testament. He knew the Word of God. And when he was being put to the test in the desert, he didn't waver at all. He had the Word of God hidden inside of him so that when he needed it, he could speak it, and he could speak it freely. His power and authority is also exhibited in his healings. The demon-possessed man, Simon's mother-in-law, the other demons that were outcast, he healed the blind, he healed the deaf, the lame could walk. I don't know about you, but I don't have that ability. But Jesus did, and he used it. So how does Jesus's power and authority, how is that maintained? First of all, through knowing the Word of God. He's able to quote scripture to the devil, and then later on in his ministry, he quotes scripture quite a few times to the Pharisees and the scribes, those who, again, are trying to put him to a test, trying to trap him, trying to get him. But he won't be moved. He can stand firm on the Word of God. And the other way that Jesus can maintain his power and authority is through communion with God. We read over and over in the Bible that despite his busy schedule, he takes time alone to be with God. He takes time to pray. In Matthew 14, we read, after he has fed the 5,000, that had to take quite a lot of strength out of him. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up to a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance away. And then this is just prior to him walking on the water. We read elsewhere in Mark 1, 35 through 39, that Jesus takes time alone to pray. He needs to fill himself up. And in Luke 5, 16, and there's one verse in the Bible, and it says that he spent the night in prayer. He knew that what he was doing needed the best of him. And to get the best of him was to spend time with God, to be praying, to be in the scriptures, to fill himself up. So Jesus draws his strength from his relationship with the Father through the power of the Spirit. Because at no time is the Spirit not with him. We know that the Spirit was given to him when he was baptized. We know that the Spirit led him in the desert. And we know that when he was performing his miracles and teaching the people, the Spirit was with him. It was filling him up. So if Jesus can draw his strength from his relationship with the Father through the power of the Spirit, we know what? What would this mean for us? We know that in John 14:12, after the Last Supper, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he says to them, "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." He promises to send the Spirit, the Advocate, the Helper. This is not only for the disciples who were there with him, because in John 17:20 he says, "I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe in me through their word." He empowered the disciples. He told the disciples, "I need to go away." Did they want him to go away? No, they had been with him for 3 years, day in and day out. They relied on him so much. But it was only until Jesus did what he did on the cross and completed that act, it was only then that the Helper could come and dwell within the disciples. And we see that in the book of Acts in the beginning. Day of Pentecost, which was we celebrated last week. That's when the Spirit was infilling them, as opposed to be just, we have the Spirit when we become new Christians, when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we have access to the Spirit. But it's not until we are baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was not until Jesus left these disciples that they were able to have the power of the Spirit within them. And then, very truly, Jesus told us, "The one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact do works that will be greater than these, because I am going to the Father." So what are greater works? Could I do something greater than Jesus? I mean, he healed crippled people. He made blind people see. He did things that were so amazing. He fed 5,000 on one lunch. No, I don't think that it's saying that I'm going to do more than that. I don't think that at all. I think that because when the Spirit is poured out, these greater works are the work of the Spirit through those who believe. And what we're going to do is we have the power to convict unbelievers of their sin. That's what we're called to do. We are called to spread the good news to others. We are called to do a greater work because we can take the word of God and tell others about God. We can't do this in our own power, but if we live our lives reading, praying, then this is the power that God gives us. We have access to that same power that Jesus had. And I, for one, I don't believe I've tapped into that completely. But it's a process. It's something that, you know, as we have access to this, it's something we just continually need to pray about and ask God to help us with. So it's in this power that God has blessed each and every one of us. And I pray that we will be able to continue in our relationship with Christ. Read your Bible daily. Pray daily. You'd be surprised at how much power God can give you through all of that. Let's pray.